Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Senator Clinton has shown herself to be an extraordinary candidate. She's tireless, she's smart, she's capable. And so obviously she'd be on anybody's short list to be a potential vice presidential candidate.
There's that short list quote from Obama, originally spoken by him in May. And, you know, with all the back and forth between Obama and McCain, and even Obama and Bush the last few days, the media has almost completely forgotten that there is yet another primary day for Clinton and Obama tomorrow. And by all accounts, it's pretty well predetermined that she'll win Kentucky and he'll win Oregon. Obama has even talked about declaring victory after tomorrow's voting. And in a minute, we'll explore the question of whether they will, whether they should run together, assuming he's the nominee. And we're opening up a webpage for this. We want you to post from a Clinton perspective, from an Obama perspective, from a Democratic Party perspective, from a national interest perspective. Do you think, assuming Obama's the nominee, that Hillary Clinton should be his running mate? Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to post your opinion about that. And we'll do that in a minute with Ken Walsh from U.S. News. But this is the home stretch of our spring fundraiser. Good morning, everybody. Hope you had a great weekend. And our goal right now is to raise an entire day's worth of support in half the time. Maybe you heard Sotirios and Jed talking about this a little while ago. If listeners donate $140,000 by noon, the fundraising stops for the rest of the day. So this is a little technique that we've tried over the last few drives, and it has worked. We hope it works today. So you can have Leonard Lopate fundraiser free and the whole rest of the day fundraiser free if we make the $140,000 goal for the whole day by noon instead of dragging it out through the afternoon. So I'm not going to dwell on it, but we are about halfway there. So we have to have a couple of really good hours here. So if you value and respect WNYC, and we know many of you have asked us to explore ways to make the on-air fundraising shorter and more efficient, this is one that has worked in the past. We hope it'll work right now. So if you've been thinking about making a contribution to WNYC during this membership drive, a first-time pledge or renewal, why don't you do it right now, and we can give you Leonard and the rest of the day fundraiser-free beginning at noon. So it's 1-888-376-WNYC, 1-888-376-9692, or go to WNYC.org and pledge online. We thank you all for your outstanding support of your public radio station. Now, Ken Walsh, U.S. News and World Report, Chief White House Correspondent. Hi, Ken. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you very much, Brian. Good morning to you.
So Obama, as you know, has been talking about possibly declaring victory in some sense after tomorrow's votes. What's that about?
Well, there's, of course, as in this campaign for so long now, there are many distinctions involved here, and he's going to probably declare victory if things go as they seem to be headed. He's going to declare victory in pledged delegates, which means he's not saying he has a majority of all the delegates, doesn't have a majority to be nominated, but has a majority of those selected by primaries and caucuses. Now, that's another one of these many gambits we see to capture the spin and to capture the momentum in the media. So he's going to portray himself as, again, well on the road to being nominated, although not quite there.
And they are still in some kind of double universe, these candidates. Clinton seems bound to win Kentucky by a wide margin, despite being counted out of the race. Obama rolls in Oregon. He got 75 or 80,000 people at an event there, the biggest single crowd of his entire campaign.
Right.
Why is it continuing on two tracks even now?
Well, these are really two coalitions that these candidates have constructed, and they are pretty closely matched within the Democratic Party, although Obama's at this point has the edge. You just have, for instance, women voters, and you're seeing in a lot of the news coverage now a lot of women voters, particularly senior women and middle-aged women, that this was their chance to have Hillary Clinton win, and they're very resentful that the first woman president, it might be knocked out. You've seen that very prominently among African-American voters who are very supportive of Barack Obama in the sense that they would be resentful if he did not be nominated. So
right, and on a different level, on that side of the equation, I think a lot of young voters, college students, young first-time voters in their 20s, you know, may not be resentful if Clinton winds up with the nomination, but if they became part of this, you know, young people's movement for Obama that they felt represented them, then they may just get apathetic again and not vote in November if she's the nominee.
Right. I think that's the likely outcome in all these situations with the people who don't like where the nomination turned out. I don't see a lot of the Democrats voting for John McCain, the Republican candidate, but I do see the possibility of them not voting
at all.
It's
a turnout issue. So that brings me to my central question for you today,
right.
Because, you know, it's kind of, you know, it's still a behind the scenes, slightly under the surface question. Do you have any information that Obama is seriously considering Clinton as his running mate or not?
Well, I think there's people in his advisor circle and who think that while he would prefer not to have Hillary Clinton on the ticket, thinking that there's more advantage he'd have with someone else, and we can talk about those possibilities if you'd like, but that if it turns out that this resentment is so substantial that it's really going to damage him in the fall, then Hillary Clinton would be back in play. But the internal discussions that I'm talking to Obama supporters about indicates that she would not be on the shortest of the short list, that may be a series of public feints, he has to appear to be considering her, not be dismissive, but that his feeling and his senior advisor's feeling is that they could get more on the ticket to win with other people as a possible vice president.
So other Democrats were making the rounds on the Sunday talk shows yesterday, Webb, Biden, Dodd. We thought maybe they were kind of auditioning for vice president, do you think?
Those names are coming up all the time, exactly. Webb, Biden, Dodd. You didn't see Sam Nunn, but you hear a lot of him. The former senator from Georgia was the chairman of the Armed Services Committee. And you see the pattern there. It's sort of
Sam Nunn? How long has he been out of government?
He's been out of long government a long time.
How old is he now?
You know, I mean, he must be close to 80.
Wow.
He must be in his late 70s. But the reason his name comes up is...
You see McCain, by the way, on Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
On Saturday Night Live, he said, what this country needs is a president who is really, really old.
That's right.
And just he went going back to, right there.
That's right. Back talking about his great-great-great-grandchildren.
That's right.
Of which he doesn't have any
right.
At this point. But anyway, I thought that was actually quite clever. It was sort of the Reagan approach to the age issue. Make fun of it. A little self-deprecation. But I mean, it's interesting that the way the chatter is going and the way I think there's a serious kernel of truth here is that, McCain is looking for the exact reverse that Obama's looking for, a young person filling in for him in case something happens to him. Obama's looking for an older person who would lend some steadiness and gravitas, particularly on foreign policy, and that's why you see the names like Biden coming up or Virginia Senator Jim Webb, who is a former Navy secretary.
Right.
That's what that's all about. But
let me go back to Clinton because, here's what I hear from a lot of Democrats, including diehard Clinton supporters in the categories that you mentioned, middle age and older women who really felt that they had a stake in this candidacy and might even feel that it's being stolen from them in some respect. What I hear a lot from Democrats is, wouldn't it be great if they could run together? That would be so great. Of course, it'll never happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
And so at the same time that they dismiss it, they say, wouldn't that be great? And I hear that from Obama and Clinton supporters alike.
Yeah, you hear that. You do hear that a lot. And exactly. But if you sort of peel back the onion, as they say, would Barack Obama really want to have somebody there who has a staff and a series of and a history of loyalties elsewhere, plus not only the Hillary Clinton staff and her former staff, her Senate staff, all of Bill Clinton's people, Bill Clinton sort of rattling around the West Wing again, just in the sense of all these concentric circles of advisors and loyalties that are not really to the president, they're to... the vice president. Now, he'll have his own staff, of course, but it's just made to order for a lot of conflict that I think that's a big question as to whether this is something they're wanting to go through. It's a serious question.
You know, one of the things that comes up is, does he want the baggage of Bill Clinton? And yet, once Clinton's on his side instead of, running against him or helping his wife run against him, he could be an incredible asset, being out there as, you know, kind of this slightly more wide-swinging person than the president himself or the vice president herself could possibly be, you know, which may have served her well rather than badly in this race.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, that's sure. That's the positive side. But then, you know, if you look to the governing side, I think that's really another big factor here. What would they be getting themselves into here? What states would they get with Bill and Hillary Clinton on the ticket that they couldn't get in other ways? And you hear a lot of talk in the Obama campaign.
Well, maybe Ohio and Pennsylvania to take two really, really, really big ones.
Right, but they're saying that would they could deal with that and win them in other ways with a different coalition. And that's what I was about to talk mm-hmm. briefly about, that they say their coalition is a different one, and it's propelled in particular by these new voters, which Cornell Belcher, who's Barack Obama's pollster, says quite aggressively that, look, you know, everybody's looking at the old-style coalitions. Look at all these millions of voters who are out there that are we're going to get to turn out. Now, that remains to be seen, but this would put different states into play. Not as big as the traditional states, as you mentioned, Pennsylvania, Ohio, but places like Colorado and Iowa and so on. So it's but it's a different type of coalition, and the Rocky Mountain states are very important because there's this stream of argument in the Democratic Party. If they win four of the Rocky Mountain states, such as Colorado, Nevada, New Mexico, and Montana, they wouldn't have to win Ohio at all.
Mm.
And so, you know, these permutations go on forever. But
right.
But I think that, you know, as far as the vice presidency goes, I think it makes more sense for him and for Obama and for his staff seems to feel this way, that to pick this sort of steady, experienced foreign policy, national security person,
yeah.
which is one of his big weaknesses.
Yeah, although, yeah, she's also kind of shown herself and probably heightened her credentials in that respect during the campaign because of the way that she has campaigned. So I'm not sure yet. But we have just a couple of minutes left with Ken Walsh, U.S. News and World Report Chief White House Correspondent. And I want to touch on McCain because I read this morning that President Bush will be called on by the McCain campaign to get out there and be public and help raise money because of this huge fundraising deficit that McCain has vis-a-vis Obama. And Bush is apparently still a prodigious fundraiser. But that means McCain featuring Bush at dinners and things, which is, I think, where the Democrats might like him to be, as unpopular as the current president is. Frank Rich this weekend called it kind of like Ford featuring Nixon.
Right.
Do you like that analogy?
Yeah, well, that's pretty dramatic, as Frank tends to be sometimes. But I think that what you're seeing is some weeks ago, a lot of the McCain strategists were saying, you're not going to see him together with President Bush very often. You know, they were even debating what to do at the convention to distance themselves. They can't not have President Bush at the convention, but they were going to sort of give him one night and keep McCain out of town even. So Bush would speak before McCain even got there, so that there wouldn't be that, you know, both of them seen together. But this financial problem has gotten so intense, as you say, that they really need to raise the money, and Bush can do that very, very well. So the question is how much he will be seen with McCain, and how much it's seen as disloyalty if McCain doesn't sort of, you know, reward, you know, show solidarity with Bush for all his fundraising. But it's a tightrope, and McCain needs the money. So you're going to see Bush do these very high-profile fundraisers and raise millions and millions of dollars. He still does that very, very well.
Ken Walsh, Chief White House Correspondent for U.S. News and World Report, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.